Do this.
Let's do it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm super happy to be here today, just like I am every Thursday, because I get to hang out with super cool, super awesome people and just have a really good time. And I'm glad that all of you that are tuning in are here to have a good time with us. So thank you for joining us. And let's see who's here. We'll start off with, holy crap, showing up from the Mac show and in touch with iOS, it's Dave Ginsberg. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. I took a little bit of a day off, had a bit of a medical thing I had to deal with, but feeling good. So I said, what the heck? I'll come up on the big show and not have to think about work right now.
That's
you're
awesome.
You're getting bionic eyes. That's what you're getting, right?
It is, right.
That was good.
Oh, you will have really, like, you will be able to zoom in really far.
I push this button.
Enhance. If you got buttons and it'll go enhance, yeah. And then you'll go it.
Do they right, give you the $6 million man theme song to go along?
Yeah, the right. You move along.
At this
we're
point,
all showing our age,
Dave,
really badly here, aren't we?
Yeah. Dave, I'm assuming at this point that you're actually under a non-disclosure agreement to say that you're actually testing Apple Vision Pro 2, which is an ocular implant.
Grab it, but I
ocular
won't.
Implant, yeah. Yeah. Also, it's not $6 million anymore. It's probably more like $6
billion.
6 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is the inflation calculator
say? That was in 1970s,
say?
$6 million.
Right.
Probably more like $6 billion.
I read an article recently, as long as we're going down this rabbit hole, I read an article recently that Mark Wahlberg is pushing forward with his plan to make a $6 billion man movie, and he will be playing Steve Austin.
No way. They're going to make a movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's lame.
Oh, wait. I just had to check the value. The $6 million man is now worth about 48.
Yes,
yeah, million. Only that's not enough. That
Why,
sounds wrong.
Is that billion?
Oh, 48 billion.
I got it from 1975. If it was $6 million in 75, it's worth 36 million now.
Million. Oh. Okay. I never get those comments.
Sounds wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you build a human for 36 million today? Repair
this,
a human.
This site even has a calculator. You can put any money you want. What year? Between either one, it calculates it immediately for you.
Oh, that's cool.
You could buy all of the raw elements for that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
You know, buy up
all
the
robotics,
sodium and magnesium and just have this crate of chemicals, essentially. And maybe you'll get lucky and it'll coalesce into a sentient being.
Maybe.
Anyhow. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. I have these images of the $6 million man in my head, and that's going to be tough to get rid of. Yeah.
We can rebuild him. We can make him stronger. Bunker, we can make him better
faster
than he was before. Better, faster. Yes.
Well, the best part of the opening sequence was the test plane crash where he nearly dies. That was my favorite.
They have some pretty good footage for that.
They did. I wonder who they got that from.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's a special effect.
No.
Yeah. And and so if it's actual footage of a test plane crash, maybe somewhere there's actual footage of the bionics being put in place.
Well, and if they're going to remake the movie in 2024, they could just use some Boeing film crash sequence.
Yeah.
That was good.
You mean the spaceship thing?
Yeah.
Well, they have lots to choose from.
No. What is it called?
Right.
Starliner, yeah.
Starliner, yeah.
Texas,
Yeah,
like you know.
airplanes, Starliners, whatever.
Starliner, whatever it is, yeah.
They've got a track record now.
They could use the video of the tire falling off the plane taken off from SFO. That would be good too.
And 30,000 employees on strike right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lee Majors is 85.
Holy cow.
And he's still up going. Fantastic.
I guess all
Well, he's
that.
got those cybernetic
Yeah.
implants. That'll just
All
keep
the
him going. Maybe he
implants
does have them.
worked.
He's not let on.
Oh,
We didn't even talk about the Bionic Woman.
yeah.
Oh, yes.
No, and
Lindsay
we did get a
Wagner.
remake of that a few years ago.
Lindsay Wagner.
Yeah, Lindsay Wagner. That's more what I was thinking, Lindsay Wagner. I was sorry. I
He
was
had that
briefly lost
bionic
there.
hearing, remember?
Yeah.
We call that AirPods,
You call that a wife.
That's
right? Yeah, you're right. In my experience, all wives have superhuman hearing, right? And all men are deaf.
That was good.
Yes, exactly.
Weaponry.
Oh, well.
It fits my experience, Patrice. You're absolutely right.
This seems like the perfect time to say, how are you, Patrice?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really, actually, I'm doing really well. It's been a cool week. I mean, back at work and all of that, but we did two really cool recordings of Retro Rewatch yesterday and the day before, and it was yeah, it's been a good week. All I
It's
can
been a
say.
fun week.
Yeah, people
Yeah.
have like it's gonna be a treat what they get.
It is. And I'm sure it'll be no surprise to anyone. I have thoughts.
Yes, you have those thoughts. You have not only thoughts, you also have rewrites, suggestions.
Thoughts, rewrites. Yep.
Rewrites.
After you're done with this going over this show, you're gonna probably just want to just create a whole new show.
That's an idea.
All right, Patrice, let's put the pitch together for Amazon
Yeah, there
since
you
they own
go.
MGM.
Yeah.
And we're going to pitch our reboot of Stargate SG-1.
No. We're not doing a reboot. You can't do a reboot of the original, but you
Remake.
can do a new show. Completely new show.
All right, that's fair. That's more what I had in mind. SG-1, the next generation kind of thing.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I mean,
funny
because at
enough.
this point, the original SG-1 team is they're old enough that sending them routinely on the off-world missions, not a good idea. But you could have a new show, new team, they're out doing their thing. And then occasionally you have special episodes where the original team members have to get called in because there's something that only that one character
And Richard Dean Anderson comes in with a walker.
comes in with a walker.
Yeah, they have to get a special pass from the assisted living facility to get out, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's the special secret military assisted living
Right.
facility.
Right. And the new team, anytime they hit some weird technology thing they just don't understand, they have a phone, they get on the phone and they dial their teal quickie, and Heather says, "That is gold technology," or, "I am not familiar with that technology."
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
You're welcome.
that's a great idea. I like that.
I'm loving this plan. It's going to be fantastic.
I want credit.
Oh, sure. Y
You'll
y you'll
get
get,
0.01% of
I
the
thought
checks
so.
we get.
but you'll be in the credits at the end.
Yeah,
That's the
executive
important producer David Ginsberg.
Oh, that would be funny. No, usually you just get a producer credit or an assistant producer or something.
Yeah, well, that's good enough, I guess.
And then we can make an IMDb entry for you.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll be in the biggest entertainment database that no one can find anything in.
That's right.
So true. So true.
So true. I mean, using Tealc Wiki is better. I can tell you that.
Right. Yep.
Least he finds it.
Yeah, if it's important to the plot, he has the answer. If it's important to the plot that it's a mystery, he doesn't have the answer.
Until later.
Until later. Right. Yes. Jaffa, experts at exposition. Yeah. Hey, Ian, how are you?
Very
Great.
patiently waiting.
I'm fine. It's been a good week. It's been a good week here as well. I might have the step sadly, work is work, and that's fine. And standout event today is my car passed its annual inspection. It means it's roadworthy for another year and it's out of service. So for a 20-year-old car, I'm happy. You know, it's one of those things. And I had the brief feeling of it's going to cost me that. It's going to cost me money this time. It's going to cost me more money. And no, it didn't. So it's all is good. All is good. And the poor old thing will go on for another year. So
Excellent.
I mean,
I think that's
technically,
most makes sense.
it was roadworthy when you got it checked. It could have been not roadworthy like 3 seconds after, but nobody
Yep,
would know.
completely, completely. I could have driven it down the road. It's like the TÜV. It's the same as TÜV in Germany.
Yes. Yeah, MOT in the
Same idea.
UK. Yep.
Yeah, MOT in the UK, TÜV in Germany. Yeah,
Yeah.
same idea.
Yep. Yeah, as I said, like you drive it off the lot and then
Yeah.
it could be completely
Yeah.
broken at
But
that point. It doesn't
the
matter.
poor old thing is good for another year, and I'm happy because I drive older cars. I like older cars, so it's punishment I put through myself willingly rather than it's
I
rather than I can't afford a
mean,
better car. I could have a better car, but I don't
yeah.
find them as fun as the older ones, so I run an old one for the fun of it.
You just pick a different kind of punishment. In newer cars, it's usually the software is the punishment. In the older cars, it's the
Yeah,
hardware.
there's no AI under
So.
my dashboard. There's no electronics. There's very few electronics other than ones that make the engine start
Well,
and regulate the fuel. And pardon?
if you have both hardware and software problems, you call that a Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
That's true.
The electronic problem I had to deal with was replacing the ignition unit earlier in the year, and that was it. That's my last of my electronics problems. It's got an ECU, but it's relatively clever for its era, but still it's not, it's doing what making car go things. It's not keeping me in my lane or preventing me from crashing into a car or any of those things. It just makes my car work.
Didn't
That's
Ford
all
and
good
if you
news.
have
Find
both
out more
hardware and
gadgets.
software problems and it's expensive, it's a BMW.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? Do you know what Ford stands for, don't you?
Found out more
FORD.
dead.
No, fix or repair daily.
Or found on road dead.
Yeah, all found on road dead, yeah. And there's also gone for fear, which is an expletive in a trice. For any fear, anything made by fear, just an expletive in a trice. I guarantee you it will be broken before you've blinked or looked at it.
It's a
One day it'll work and
femal.
you'll love it and it'll be a beautiful car. The next day you'll get in it and you'll hate it because it doesn't work. And there's no good reason for it.
I thought Fiat was feeble Italian attempt at transportation.
That's a good, I like
That's a
that. I
good
like that.
one. Could also be.
You know, I'm not a car person per se. And to me, it's a tool. So
Get you from point A to point B and back.
yeah, and it needs to do that reliably. That said, I have found there are many cars that I really, really like, but only when they're on the showroom floor. Like, I would never want to actually own one, drive one. Just, I like the idea of certain cars, and that's where they should stay. Just an idea on a showroom floor.
Isn't
I like.
that universal for most cars? They're really great when they are on the showroom floor, and the second you drive them outside, they're worthless. Isn't that
Yeah,
how
well, this is one of the
that
reasons
works?
I buy used cars only.
There's the thing of some cars look beautiful and you think I'd love to own one of them, and then you own meet someone who owns one, you realize, well, you don't own one of them. Alfa Romeo being the classic example. Beautiful lines, wonderful Italian designing. Sadly, The early ones are very, very unreliable.
I've heard
It's a real
similar
shame.
things about Porsche.
Porsche is similar too. I'd suffer that for a Porsche, to be honest. I'd love a 911. I've driven one 4 or 5 times, and every time I've come away with the kind of grin that makes your face ache. And so I'm a petrol head though, a gearhead. It's my thing. I would happily own one of those. And I've driven those modern McLaren supercars as well on track. And the thing I've discovered, they're soulless. You don't. It goes very fast, and it will do everything incredibly competently. But you no sense of being connected to what you're doing. No, not in the same way when you're getting a Porsche. Or in my last time, I drove a really old Escort Ford rally car,
Oh,
the sort used in
God.
Fast and Furious. There was a Ford Escort rally car used in that. They have a mock-up of one of those in on the track day I went to when I booked that, and that was amazing.
A
You
fast forward. All you
See.
had a seat, steering wheel, racing harness to
Fast and
keep you from falling
Escort.
out, and it was just amazing thing to drive and to enjoy. For what it is. We want to
But
run it
Dave,
daily.
the thing
I
you don't
like
understand, in the UK, fast forward is a thing. People in the
completely a
US
thing.
don't understand that. You know, we hear the fast forward and we're like, really? Fast and forward?
I mean, I prefer my car soulless. Usually soulless and driven by other people.
That's fair.
And usually coming in the form of a train or tram or something like
Even better. I so wish we had a quality, useful, and comprehensive public transportation system in the United States.
And
Yeah,
don't forget, reliable.
and reliable.
But you know, blasting around a track in a 911 might be a little fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, even for people that kind of. You can come and sit in the passenger seat, Patrice, and I will take you around the track very fast. You can have the
Okay, and
roller
then
coaster
afterwards you take me
sensation.
to the hospital.
No, no need, no need, no need. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Absolutely fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I drove most recent thing of those I did. I went down to a place called Dunsfold, which is better known as a Top Gear test track. And I drove that thing. I put it in the in the Zoom chat. There's other car I drove, and I also drove a Porsche GT3 RS, the latest, fastest, silliest thing, and that's incredible. But for the Americans, that's the kind of fast forward I'm talking about. That was a world class winning rally car kind of thing back
Wow.
in its day. That kind of thing, and they
It
very
looks like
like
a
the car I
Datsun.
drove. Yes, that does look like the Datsuns of
Yeah,
that particular era Datsuns. Yes.
you're right, Tom. That doesn't look anything like an Escort I know.
Yeah, and that's the first generation that we had in the UK, and that was hugely popular family car in the early 70s, and also renowned for being sat at the side of the road with steam coming out of the bonnet, because Ford. And the heated rear screen was there to keep your hands warm while you pushed it.
Oh
We go down here.
You know,
Well, we are getting distracted, aren't we, from
A little bit, yeah.
Am I
Bit
on the
distracted, though.
motor trend channel?
Motor trends and the one lady that doesn't care about cars.
All right. Well,
Chucked a
there's
story in the
another
chat.
show we should
Yeah,
have.
there is another show there in cars.
All right, let's see if we can find some technology thing to talk about then. Maybe that'll be something that will interest the lady. And Ian, you
Will
have a story that you just dropped in
I've
to
dropped
our
the
chat.
story in about CrowdStrike because Adam Myers is very, very sorry and has been talking to Congress and saying that he's the CEO, by the way, of CrowdStrike. And there is much, much prostrating of oneself and saying they're going to do it again. And shock horror amongst this thing is when I read some of the news about this. Apparently, they're going to do more testing internally before they release their patches.
Whoa, what an
Concept.
idea.
Really, that's such a revolutionary idea. And I
Yeah,
wonder
which
in my
means they've run
own.
out of money and they will never release
Yeah, and it makes me wonder
it.
about the whole thing of the kind of is this an is what we're seeing now. There's two things. CrowdStrike was bigger than we've seen before in this kind of things. Dave, you work in IT, so you'll back me up. AV companies have screwed up their updates for ever since there have been updates. I remember McAfee, ESET, Sophos, all of them breaking a customer operating system forever, haven't they?
Yep,
So
it's the way of
it's not
life.
like it's a new thing, is it? And but this is the time when we're so more embedded in technology than we were 10, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
It's so much more of a thing, isn't it, now?
Big time.
And the thing that fascinates me here is, and we see what we're seeing here, and this is probably a question for Patrice, is this DevOps gone wrong a little bit, where we're trying to be very agile and trying to keep our updates going quickly and keep ourselves on the cutting edge, and we've actually shot ourselves in both feet and our head at the same time?
I'm not sure it's DevOps gone wrong, but it's for sure move fast and break things gone wrong. I mean, I'm all
Brilliant.
for doing that, but you have to have the mechanisms in place, and so many companies don't. You have to have the mechanisms in place that allow you to check everything before automatically. Roll it out slowly, and if you detect an error, roll it back.
Yeah,
It
that's the
doesn't
thing
happen.
that really got me about this one was they didn't have a controlled rollout. They just blasted it to everybody.
Oh,
You would
that I
think
mean,
for
so many
it,
places do
no,
that.
I
That's
know,
how
but
they do it.
if you have a piece of software that gets into the kernel of an operating system, you might want to, if it's my photo editor, okay. But if you have any possibility of a BSOD, that's just insanity.
I mean, for tools like that, it's a balance between getting something out there quickly because security is involved and people might be actively exploiting
Sure.
certain things versus, making sure you don't break everybody. So I understand that, but as I said, if you have to do that, you have to have the things in place that ensure that this doesn't happen.
Surely you do
But
much more
even
testing internally before you release it to the wild, or
you would think so,
your
but
revisions are so far, you're.
I mean, as I said, like with especially with security tools, I fully understand and appreciate that there has to be an emergency mode where you just put where like, okay, I have to push something out and I have to push it out now, because this is bad. But
Yeah,
as
I
I said,
get.
you have to have, even for that, you have to have procedures in place, you have to have test procedures in place, you have to have, as we said, slow rollout procedures in place, and you have to be able to roll it back if something bad happens.
And certainly CrowdStrike update would be a high priority update. It is
Yeah.
something
No,
pretty
not
critical.
always. It could be,
But
but
the
not always,
question
right?
is, I don't remember anyone saying that this update that got pushed was particularly critical.
No, it was not.
No.
So,
It
you could
became
have rolled it
critical.
out. Yeah,
It
it became
became critical
crazy.
after,
You could have rolled,
yeah.
rolled it out by time zones or something, Gee.
Well,
Wonder
they
what they
kind of
did.
did that, but
Yeah, wish they
they
could.
kind of did that accidentally.
I mean, the
Yeah,
one thing I
actually,
don't know about
yeah.
CrowdStrike is can you ring fence the updates and say, let me check them before I release them to my customer, my own
But
network,
here's the
right? Or
thing.
of
They don't
course you
do
can.
that. You can, but they don't.
Yeah. I
They
mean, even Apple is doing that with non-critical things. Like the way their software, and I think I'm pretty sure Google and everybody is doing it that way. The way it's set up is basically not every device at once is checking at the same time. And
Right.
eventually, slowly over time, everybody will get it.
Yeah, it's a controlled rollout. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even have
I.
to actively do anything. It's just because the system checks and says, "Hey, I know there's an update, but not right now."
Yeah, I have to have
And
that
it doesn't even
conversation.
show it. I mean, unless you check, it doesn't show it to you. It's like, "Eh, later."
Yeah, I have to have that conversation occasionally with our developers of, So how does this thing update straight away? And they go, yeah. I can raise some, yeah. And do corporate customers want that? And they look at me like, well, won't they want? No, they won't want that. You need to have an option. As a matter of priority, you want to write an option which basically allows the customer to opt into the updates rather than you force them. But oh,
Yeah,
but
I
we
mean,
want
you
to keep
can
the
force
product
them at
stable and
some
everything else.
point.
So yeah, that's understandable, but the customer will want to test that before they bridge it to their production systems. It's good IT practice. It's what I practiced in corporate enterprise for 25 years. You know, you always make sure you test before you
Well,
put it
Dave,
into
correct me if I'm
production.
wrong, but in a corporate IT department, every time, I mean, basically the ideal situation is no computer can update any critical software on their own. It only gets
No,
pushed from the
the tool
IT
has to do it.
department, right?
In many
Because
small companies, go
you guys
through.
get the updates and do your own testing before you push it, right?
But even
Especially
for that, there
Microsoft.
is a yeah, there
Especially
is
Microsoft,
yeah. But even for
yeah.
that, Microsoft has the capability to push out
Oh,
a
yeah.
mandatory emergency update that even like you can't stop. Like if it's really that important, they can do it. But as I said, like
Rare.
they also it, I mean, almost never use it for that reason because that is super dangerous.
Yeah,
For sure,
rare
not doing that
because
for a regular update.
because companies generally will go through a whole phase of you're going in and you want to test it with the IT people's machines first and go through a test phase, testing
You
all the
hope.
patches,
Yes.
and then go to that. Once you get to phase one, go to phase two, and then and once we've got two phases in place or three phases in place, and you've confirmed everything looks good, we've tested everything, then you can start r rolling it out to the entire company.
On our Macs, we do it a little bit differently. We have a delay when it becomes available, so the IT department has a chance to basically stop it. So it would go out if they don't stop it, but there's simply a delay.
Well, just like now,
Kind
with
of.
Sequoia just coming out, we
Exactly.
tried
We
to
couldn't
delay it,
upgrade.
you can set up a provision to say, nope, we don't want any machines within Jamf saying, oh, we can't upgrade, but somehow Apple gets around it because the users are seeing it anyway. And of course, they don't
That's
see our
interesting.
warnings, don't update it, and they do, and then we have to rebuild the machines.
Yeah, good times.
Oh, what
We
fun.
didn't have to do
Oh, what
that,
fun.
but we had some people that couldn't access anything anymore. So
Right. That's why we had to rebuild the
network
machines.
wasn't working. Yeah, we didn't have to rebuild it. We could just wait for an update for the tool and then do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mac is a little
Can't
bit
wait.
better in some ways because you've got a fairly fixed hardware platform sitting underneath the operating system.
Yeah, but
The
these
OS,
days
the
the
kernel, the
differences.
OS and kernel are
Yeah.
all well understood. It's
Yeah.
not you're applying the same update to a machine with a Dell motherboard in it as one with an HPE,
Yeah,
as one with some guy at home with a Gigabyte one they bought from the shop and built out of
but
bits,
honestly,
and
these
that
days
kind of
the
thing.
differences are not that big anymore. That used to be a bigger deal and a bigger issue, but these days it's not that bad anymore.
Is it? No, oh, that's good anyway. I've always had
Yeah.
the impression that it just gets more and more randomized with the PC market, if
I
you
mean,
like.
there is, given the number of people, there's always a random 0.1% where something is weird and some weird combination that you didn't predict. That's always, no matter what the hardware platform is.
Yeah,
I mean,
because users.
And yeah, and
yeah.
it
No, it's
depends on
just users.
what.
It's just hardware and software and squishy bits and all of that. So,
Yeah.
And it depends what your
squishy
hardware
bits.
is doing. You know, we had the company I worked at before, a firmware update on network cards caused our software to go nuts because we were launching jobs on 10,000 CPUs at once. And it took forever to figure out the source of that problem. It was on a, you know, like a Cisco NIC or something. I can't remember.
Yes,
Cisco's got
that's a
weird fun
problem.
times at
We're
Cisco
already,
updates.
We're
Yeah,
already half an hour
Cisco.
into the show.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
Okay. We are?
This is our
Wow.
first story. So I'm moving us on, even though I know we could talk about this for the
Yes.
rest of the show. So
Such
let's
a
move from the
taskmaster.
CrowdStrike drama to the WordPress drama.
Oh yeah, I
I'm wondering
have
if you're going to talk about that.
Soap
I
opera.
have tea. I have tea for you. Yeah, for the old people, that means I have something juicy to tell you about because there's been drama in the WordPress world.
I saw that.
There is
No
this
kidding.
No kidding. Yeah, there is this service out there called VP Engine, which is kind of a host WordPress hosting company, an external and independent WordPress hosting company. And as you might know, WordPress itself is an open source tool. It's the company that runs the commercial site is but crap blanking on it.
Automatic.
Automatic. Thank
Oh,
you. Yeah, but the like WordPress itself, the tool that also we're using on BTN is completely open source. And there's a ton of independent developers and Automattic itself and like a lot of companies contributing to it. So this service has caused some like I think it's one of the biggest, I guess I think aside from WordPress.com itself, I think it's one of the bigger, maybe even the biggest or second largest hosting company for WordPress.
WP Engine is really, really big.
Yeah,
WP Engine, yeah.
I think Automattic is bigger, but that's probably the only one that's about that size. There was a talk at WordCamp in, you could
WordCamp
tell me,
US in Portland.
in Portland, yeah. And Matt Mullenweg from I think he's from Automattic if I remember correctly.
Matt Mullenweg is from Automattic. He's the founder of Automattic.
Well, yeah,
He's
that's
why there's
what I
two
remember.
T's in the name Automattic, because Matt. And yeah, he's co-creator of WordPress. So when you
He
say
when he says
WordPress,
something,
And
yeah,
so
but
when Matt does his well, they used to call it the State of the Union address sort of thing, or the State of WordPress. So he would do the final keynote, wrap up WordCamp US, WordCamp EU, WordCamp Asia, whichever big continental WordCamp event it is. He has the last presentation. So historically, that would be, I'm going to tell you what's coming with new versions, and here's new features, and here's the roadmap. But with WordCamp US moving to the time of year it is now, that's become more like a fireside chat event with Matt. And yeah, so this year we get him bagging on WP Engine. A couple years ago, it was GoDaddy.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this year it wasn't even WP Engine specifically. It was actually Silver Lake, a private equity company, and Lee Wittlinger specifically, who like he says is hollowing out the open source community, because he's saying they do about $500 million in revenue on top of WordPress, but they contribute back 40 hours a week, so probably one employee, versus Automattic, who is at similar size, contributing about 4,000 hours a week. So he's kind of saying they're kind of taking advantage and not giving anything back at all. And he had a yeah he had a very specific example of like the shit they're doing, and he the controversial thing or the thing that he said in this blog post is he said that WordPress Engine is a cancer on WordPress, like on WordPress's site, because
Yikes.
they turn off version history. So anybody who is using or has ever used WordPress or a lot of other tools do that too. Know that like when you create a file, like Word does it, like there's a lot of files. Basically, when you create a new post or a new file or whatever, it's versioned. So whenever you change it, even you upload a new like a new version of an image or whatever, there's a new version created of that file, of that post, of that comment, whatever it is, podcast episode, for example. And then the old one is still there. So you could, at any point, if you make a mistake, you delete something, you change something, something breaks, whatever, you could always go back, which is a really good feature to have, especially for a lot of like authors and whatever. Like they want to have change tracking and see who changed what. Like there might be multiple people editing the same thing. And like there's a million reasons why you want to do that. WP Engine according to this blog post, turned. I know actually that's true. That is definitely true because they have posted it in their FAQ. They have turned it off, and there's also no way for you to turn it on, other than reaching out to them in support in their support chat, and then they might maybe, if they agree, turn it on. And the reason for it is very simple, because of course that costs, that adds costs, because if you're storing basically every change, that duplicates the amount of storage you need. But it is one of the core features of WordPress. It is built, a lot of places built around that, and they just disabled it because they just don't want to pay for it. And they don't want their users to even have it. So there's not even an option where you can say, yes, I want to pay more and just give me that.
Like, that's the answer. That would have been a logical answer. You know, this takes up a lot of space. It costs us money. It's going to cost you an extra dollar a month to have five versions or something.
Yeah. So basically, they have about 1.5 million WordPress installs, and they disabled it for everybody. And they made it really hard to do that. You can't even enable it properly. Like, the support can help you enable 3 revisions for your post. But more than 5, you can't do. And old revisions will automatically be removed after 60 days. So there's no, like, even if you beg and plead and they enable it, and they, of course, can't do it retroactively because the data is gone, there's no way to basically keep that properly. And I mean, that sucks. So, yeah, there's, and this blog post and this talk sparked a whole lot of back and forth, lawyers getting involved, and VP Engine sending a cease and desist to WordPress, or to Automattic, to WordPress, and Automattic and WordPress Automattic sending a cease and to Automattic, and Automattic sending a cease and desist to VP Engine, and Automattic, or actually no, WordPress.org blocked access to their docs for WordPress Engine. Guess IPs, I don't know how exactly they did it, but something they did there. So it has a whole drama unfolding around that, like about the IP rights and using,
adults behaving like children.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
Yes.
So WP Engine has filed a lawsuit against Matt and Automattic now. And so this is all fast, because it was last Friday when Matt did his keynote, and here we are not quite a week later, a day short of a week later, and the lawsuits are already filed. And there was another component that Matt was bagging on about WP Engine, and that's how much they're giving back to the WordPress community.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. 40 hours a week versus 44,000.
Right. Yes. And if you look at smaller companies that are involved in the WordPress community, even if you don't look at it as a percentage of overall company people hours, they're still massively out donating compared to WP Engine. Yeah. And and that was part of the same complaint that Matt had with GoDaddy, because GoDaddy was providing all these services, but then they weren't giving back to the WordPress community. And ahead.
When they blocked, so when WordPress.org blocked access for WP Engine, like Matt basically put a post out there, and he said, WP Engine wants to control our WordPress experience. They need to run their own user login system, update servers, plugin directory, theme directory, pattern directory, block directory, translations, photo directory, job board, meetups, conferences, bug tracker, forum, Slack, Ping-O-Matic, and showcase. So basically, that's all the stuff that they're using for free right now. And their servers can no longer access our servers for free. So that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long list of things that they use for free.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I agree, there's some issues with the way WP Engine is participating in the WordPress community. Mm-hmm. However, I don't feel that dropping this load of dirty laundry on WordCamp US attendees was the right approach to go into this. And apparently,
How about
the
a phone
lawyers
call, you
agree.
know? Yeah, how about a phone call?
Oh, I'm
Well,
pretty sure they
apparently there
talked
were phone
before.
calls,
Yeah.
and those went very poorly.
No
Right.
surprise there.
But why did anybody think that airing it out in public was going to make it better, right? They always want to, well, we'll get our people and put pressure on the other side, and it never works.
Here's the part that I'll say out loud that I'm totally comfortable saying because I've accepted that I'll probably never have a job at Automatic. Matt needs a
Okay.
handler.
Yes.
Straight up. He
Yes.
has good intentions, but has taken a tone-deaf approach to his tactics on more than one occasion.
Yeah. I
And
mean, that's so common in the tech system. Like, there's a lot of people that are technically very, very skilled, don't have the leadership skills
Yeah.
or the management
The
skills
people
or like the
skills to deal
personal
with.
skill, the people skills required for a situation like that. I mean, Steve Jobs was well known for not being able to handle stuff like that very well either. So like there's a lot of people like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and
And yeah, I mean, they're not saying WP Engine cannot operate. Like, they're just saying if they want to use their offer their hacked up bastardized version, that's what he called it. He called it, sorry, the hacked up bastardized simulacra, yeah, of WordPress's GPL code. They can do that. It's not a problem. Yeah, he just doesn't want them to take advantage of all the things that like WordPress offers for free.
And there's it's important that all of the companies that are like really in a position to be able to support the WordPress community actually support that community. I do believe that.
Yeah, and I think that is at the core. I mean, no matter what you think about this, I think I'm with you. Like, both sides are kind of behaving like children a little bit, but at the core of this is a long-standing issue that we have in today's IT community. And that is that most, honestly, mo if you look at it, I think a high percentage, 90 something percent probably, of everything on the web today, I mean, including your operating system, whatever, is built on top of free labor from people who just love doing it. I mean, Unix, and also, of course, government. There's other contributors to it. I'm not saying, like, I mean, the U.S. government, the militaries of the world, scientists. There's a lot of other people have contributed to this as well. But there's, I mean, today especially, I mean, there's so many. I mean, I know the software. I mean, the software we're using at BTN, the software I'm using at work. Like, most of it is open source. And most of the time, nobody contributes back to it. And usually that's okay. But it is a problem eventually. Like, it's like everybody is benefiting from it, but nobody is willing to pay for it. And we get issues like Heartbleed. We get issues like that where really important tools don't get funding and people burn out because they have to do it on the side. Everybody relies on it, but nobody is willing to even give a dime for it. And I get that it is a problem. And I think that's also, I mean, WordPress is probably not on the level of OpenSSL yet, but WordPress is the biggest website software platform in the world.
It's like 46% of all websites run on WordPress.
Something
Wow,
like
that
that.
much. Wow.
Yeah. All
That's it's
website,
shocking.
everything, literally everything in the world. 46%. That includes all the manually hacked websites from the 90s and 2000s and all that.
So
All of it.
people don't VI HTML files anymore.
Oh no,
Well,
people still do that.
you
Brad
do it.
Terpstra does
Doing
that.
that the other day.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. There's a million people that do that. I've done that probably recently.
you
That's still
probably
happening.
You probably use Emacs, though. You don't use
No,
VI.
I use VI. Sometimes. Usually I use Nano, but different story. No. It's yeah, I mean that is a major issue of the whole internet right now. That I mean even I don't know, actually I know it. Instagram, because they have, I think somewhere in the app there's a section of all the licenses that they had to publish, and there's like a lot of open source tool in it. Instagram uses it, Facebook uses it. Facebook used to use PHP, which is open source. It's like you name the company, they're using open source tools everywhere. Apple,
Well, it's
Microsoft,
also that trend
Amazon,
has
all of them.
also created that industry of source code checkers that catalog all the open source
Yeah, had
software you
to.
have in your code and what version you're using and
Yeah,
checking that against
they
known
had to
bad
do that.
versions. Yeah,
Yeah, they had to do that
I'm
because
sure
that's
you
one of
guys
the
have to.
problems.
You guys at your
Yeah,
company probably
everywhere.
have to do audit. Everybody does
Yeah,
that, I think.
everywhere. Everybody does it. Has to, should. I don't know if everybody
They
does it, but
should.
everybody
Yeah,
should.
they definitely
I
should.
mean,
Yeah.
in the US, if you're working on any government contract that I
Yep.
know, you have to do that. In the EU, I think they're starting to do that now. You have to publish an SBOM. At least if you're working on anything that is anything significant, like, but as I said, it is a fundamental problem that there's a lot of companies out there that benefit from free labor from other people and are not willing to give back, even though they could, like financially they could. There's a lot of companies that couldn't, and like all the small startups that only exist because of open source tools and can only do the thing because of open source tools. That's what it's for. This is amazing. But there's a lot of big companies that could do something and they just decide not to.
Well, and sometimes they don't give their employees the time or the encouragement to contribute back because there's no benefit to them, right? They're corporations.
Exactly. I mean, most employees are probably legally not allowed because the everything they write at
It's
during work hours
proprietary.
is proprietary, belongs to the company. So they
Yeah,
couldn't even decide to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of a flaw in that
Technically,
whole
a lot. I mean,
system.
I know a lot of employees that even then contribute to open source projects. Technically, they're breaking like some agreement.
Yeah,
So.
and there are companies that are big enough where they have employees on staff who are just paid to work on contributing to WordPress core.
Yeah, and
That's
I
a good
mean,
idea.
to be fair, there is a lot of big companies that do that. Google is contributing quite a, I mean, despite all they do, like I think a good chunk of the web runs on Angular, for example, and Angular is an open source project and it has a lot of contributors, but one of the biggest ones is Google, for example. Apple is do it has been doing it for, I don't know, 40 years or something. If you've ever heard of Cups, that's an Apple open source project. Stuff like that, like Safari, also WebKit, technically, Swift. There's a lot out there where companies contribute significant amount of labor, and I mean for sure they still benefit from it. So it's not that they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. Like they still benefit from it, but they're contributing to it. But there's also a lot of companies that don't.
All right, we have like 10-ish minutes left.
Okay,
Do
so
we
I'm
want to try
sorry.
and do another story?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, and looks like Tom, you have a story in here.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick story, Jeff, in the
Okay.
interest of time. So this story is about Microsoft announcing that their AI Copilot had some enhancements with features inside of Excel and blah 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 AI, right? That's all we hear, blah 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 AI. But the thing that intrigued me here is basically the ability to embed Python code inside of Excel and get some help from Copilot to write Python and so on. And I see Patrice laughing. I love
I
the, you know,
cannot, I cannot see anything going wrong with that, I think, but
right.
okay.
Right.
So,
So I used to use Excel a lot at work because it was kind of the go-to tool to do a lot of basic financial and analysis. And most
It's
of the
very
people
good.
were like me. We weren't professionals. We weren't finance people that spent all day on Excel doing stuff. We just, you know, we need to spend an hour to do something. And And a lot of us came from a technical background, and the ability to sort of manipulate things in ways beyond the built-in formulas would have been really great. So what we ended up doing a lot of time was dumping out data from Excel and then writing quick little scripts, you know. So I like the idea of having sort of a quote unquote real programming language inside of Excel to help you do manipulations. But A, why did they pick Python? I hate
It's
Python.
the trendy
Very good
language. It's the
question.
trendy language of the
Right.
moment.
And number two, I'm not sure how much help I really want to get from Copilot when I'm doing that. But you know, the usual programming things, if you're not really an expert, you're just sort of a casual programmer. You know, instead of going and Googling, how do I write this in Python to have something pop up, you know, it would help you a little bit. I get that. Or to have you know, basically a better version of help pages or man pages. You know, because the help in inside of Excel is, it's okay,
Garbage.
but it's not great. Yeah, it's not that great. But I wish when I was doing a lot of heavy Excel work that I had a real programming language inside of Excel, with a little bit of help from the AI part of Copilot.
All right, Dave, I'm putting you on the spot with this. Since you're in a position where security is an important part of your job. What's the likelihood that your company would say, "Yeah, Dave, we're totally cool with having people actually writing code with the assistance of Copilot AI inside their spreadsheets"?
One of the problem with it, the thing is, the I'm going to talk in generalities. I don't get specific of what we do, but companies restrict it. So it's not going, it's staying within the four walls of our network. That's how Copilot's working on our network, is because we don't want our proprietary and sensitive data to be used outside the company, nor do we allow it to be used on our computers, just going to just a co going to a to an AI website. So yes, they would allow to do that, because I would not be at all surprised that there's developers already out there that are already doing that. But they keep that restriction in place. So you're not going to be able to just go just code and go out to the wide world of the internet to find rogue stuff and
That
not
makes
be
sense.
confidence with that. So,
That makes sense. Yep.
yeah, it does. And
Yeah,
there's a big push. I mean, there's a big push on the Copilot usage as it is, and I'm seeing a really a huge uptick. I'll probably be starting doing presentations to our staff about how to use it and
Nice.
where it goes. And I think that's where everything is going in the enterprise market now, because AI is here to stay, and my company's
The bubble
recognizing it
might
big
burst,
time.
but AI is interesting.
Yeah,
my company's recognizing it. It's highly promoting it in the public sector, so you could easily see it publicly what we're looking to do on the engineering aspects, and on the policy and all that stuff with the insurance end of the business too, because boy, it's making our lives so much easier now than ever before. So we've got, there are people that are internal software developers. I don't know for a fact, but I mean, I wouldn't be all surprised. And this is normal of any companies, I think, that are looking at this closely.
I mean, depending on what you're doing, it's not a lot different. Maybe I don't understand this, but it doesn't seem to me that it's a lot different than I'm writing a piece of code and I'm not sure how to get started. And I go to Google and say, how do you write code to do a bubble sort? And you go and somebody's got a little snippet of code and you grab it to get started. Isn't that partly what the Copilot does to help programmers get them started?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. That's gonna.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it is still slightly different, but not that. Not that. Yeah. I mean, I mean, a lot of, like, especially junior programmers, they go to Stack Overflow and look at the first answer and copy it. Actually, I think a lot of the programmers, no matter what, do that, because even I do that sometimes. If it look, I mean, I look at it, and if it's right, I'll copy it. So yeah, it is not
Oh,
that
yeah.
different. There's one major difference for me. Websites like Stack Overflow basically lose out when you use Copilot, because Copilot's already scraped everything, and now you don't have to go to the website.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Oh.
mean, that's just the general problem with AI, right?
What
about
Yes.
GitHub? I mean, GitHub's commonly used by a lot of developers. I think companies keep that open somewhat. You know, they keep restrictions though what can and can't be done. I mean, systems are constantly being scanned to make sure they're not it's not rogue stuff that's out there, but they look directly to see that you know that if you have developers are do, that are working on you know software development web-based apps and such that they need access to a lot of these tools and so it's open to a point but with caution.
Well, anyway, when I get some time, I'm going to play around with this. I do have a version of Excel, but I'm going to write a letter to Microsoft and lobby to use something besides Python. I just don't want to use
Have you
Python.
tried?
No.
Looking forward to hear
Swift.
your
Well,
report.
let's lobby for Swift.
Well, I'm an old guy, and I've only tried a little bit of Python, and so a lot of it has to do with my bias. You know, for reference,
How
my
about
favorite.
Fortran?
Yeah, my favorite programming language of all time was Pascal because I got out of
I
Fortran,
loved
you know,
Pascal.
and
Pascal was
Pascal
not
was
bad,
like
actually.
the skies opening up after writing Fortran for 5 years, you know.
Yeah, see,
We
I
had to
think
do
much before then.
Fortran in school, so.
Yeah, Fortran 77. It's like, ooh, Fortran 77. This is
I
great.
have
Fortran
used some
88.
Fortran
The future.
77.
Right. Yeah.
The
future.
have you tried Copilot with the integrated Copilot with an XL yet?
I haven't yet. I'm
I
gonna
mean, they do have a
give it a try.
trial. It wouldn't be a bad idea to just try it
Oh,
to see
do
if
try.
there's something that could be done from because it's got some pretty nifty tools that I've already got access to in the corporate side of things
I it
within
looks pretty
all the
cool.
Microsoft
And I
365 tools.
I'm
Yeah.
kind of kidding about Python, but I
Oh,
think
I know you
it
are. It
did
is a good language. It's not
it
bad,
did look
yes.
pretty cool. I just like the fact that it's embedded, you know, the fact that you have a real language embedded in Excel with some AI help sounds like a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it might be worth a
Oh
shot
yeah.
trying it,
Yeah.
especially
I
with
mean, they
Microsoft
had before
365.
they had that macro language, which was
Yeah, it was
basically a
terrible.
door for a lot of viruses.
Right. Basically, that's all that was.
Yeah. Hey, we are down to a couple minutes before we've hit an hour. But Dave, if you have a story you want to toss out, I want to give you the opportunity to do that
Yeah, I can. It's
move on.
gonna be a quick one, I think. Let me go to the site and put it in the chat here. There you go. I found this to be interesting, you know, with Kaspersky.
Yes.
Kaspersky, of course, went away. US has blocked it and banned it and had they had to be remove it. So I didn't realize this till I read this, that earlier this week that some US customers had found that the Kaspersky software was removed from their computers because of either they didn't subscribe to their email so that the Kaspersky kept warning everybody here in the US that it was being removed, but then come to find out after the fact that the company that was going to take over Kaspersky in the US called Ultra AV just automatically installed it without telling anybody. So anybody of the millions of
Nice.
sub, any of the million of US customers that were out there, all of a sudden see, hey, what is this? Ultra
What's this new
AV.
icon on my computer
So
that I
they
wasn't
just
expecting? Yeah.
before they lose the possibility, they just pushed out some malware. Is
Yeah.
that what's happening? Not saying
Yeah.
that Ultra AV is malware. I don't know
And
anything about it, but it sounds like it.
they said that one of the spokesperson said that this was done to ensure Windows users would not experience a gap in protection upon Kaspersky's exit from the market. Windows 10 and Windows 11 have their own baked-in antivirus made by Microsoft, and if a Windows user had a third-party antivirus, it uninstalls it. Defender switches back automatically, and Defender switches back automatically. So they had protection.
Yeah,
So
because I had Defender. Why would you, if you've got Defender, just take it away. There you go, Defender's there. It's not actually that bad an
I mean,
AV as
I
it
have a
goes.
serious problem with this. I know it's. I know people question Defender and how it does. The Microsoft antivirus has gotten a lot better. I mean,
It
I
has gotten
huge.
better, but it is also the biggest target for any malware author out there. The
Yeah.
first thing they figure out is how they can disable Defender.
But going back to the old companies like Norton, McAfee, that's what all the consumers used to use all the time. It's such bloatware. It slowed the machines down, and on Windows side of things,
Norton. Yeah. My
Yeah,
God.
Norton, kill me now.
Oh
And McAfee, kill me now too. So you know, it's just kind of disturbing to me a little bit that a company can just all of a sudden just, oh, let me just install something on someone's machine without even telling them. You know, and that's the problem
Yeah,
with
that's
Windows.
nuts.
We've
That's
always
nuts.
known, and when we always known that, noticing that here it also says users on Mac, Android, and iOS devices on the head need to manually install it because they can't do it. So,
There would still be a way to do that, but it's probably harder.
yeah.
And they probably didn't understand Windows, Mac, sorry, that's why they didn't do
That's usually the case. So,
it.
oh yeah,
If that's lucky.
but
But no,
Chase, you
it's.
could easily probably do it if you
No,
haven't.
I mean there is ways there. I mean there is ways because a lot of apps have software update routines and where they update themselves. So there's always a way to do that. No,
Update is
but
one
it's
thing. You
hard.
send the new version
Replacing.
down. You up when your update does all it does. It takes the old one off and puts the new one on. An old frame reappears.
Unfortunately,
But
there's
it
so
might
many.
still require manual intervention.
And then, unfortunately, we're not normal consumers when it comes to this. And unfortunately, you know, I get friends and family asking me all the time about antivirus. Sometimes I don't even recommend it. I say, you know what, Defender should be sufficient for what you need. You can't, and I say you can use this. You know, I like products like ESET, still a very good product. I think they're really good.
He said so.
F-Secure is just getting out of the market, I think. I've heard recently that they're stopping.
A lot of them are. I mean, so
But it's
again,
I think the whole problem with this is, I mean, arguments for or against that is like that they can do that, but it's an incredibly bad idea to do it. It's like.
My assumption as a user would be that I had a security failure on my computer because there's software on here that I didn't
That you didn't
install.
install. No,
Well,
that's the problem.
maybe Kaspersky is a tad bit desperate at this moment, right? What does
And I
Kaspersky
mean
have to
the
lose? They don't have anything to lose, right?
and,
No,
and
this
who
is
knows what
this.
the who knows what the new company paid for this privilege.
Just as long as it's a US-based company, the United States is fine with it. Yeah, I
But
just
now I
this was
wouldn't
a
be fine with it, but because who knows what they just pushed.
I question it, sure.
And what they're going to do next.
There you go.
All right. So awesome stories all the way around. I think we could have just kept going on and on. However, instead of continuing to go on, I'll just do a very clunky transition into saying, hey, how about that TSO host? Aren't they pretty awesome for supporting the British Tech Network?
Yes, they are.
And what are they doing to support us? Well, they're taking the services that they offer, which is like web hosting and helping by domain names and server storage, that kind of stuff. And they're saying, hey, British Tech Network, here you go. We want to give back to the community, and we're going to do that by helping you do the things that you do. So they're doing that by giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows every week. They're giving us the hosting space so there's a place for the website to live. And they're giving us server storage space so we have a place for all of the show recordings to live. And so all the things that we need to have so you can either watch or listen live. Or watch or listen at your convenience, just whenever you want to hear a recording. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing because it takes a lot of resources to make all of this happen. So we really, really appreciate that TSO Host is here and they are helping us, and they're doing that by giving us what we need to be here for you. So thank you, TSO Host. And what would be really awesome is if all of you would hop out on social media and give TSO Host a thank you for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Only takes a minute to do, and the payback is great because then they know that we all appreciate what they're doing. So please go give TSO Host some online love. If by chance you have found a domain name that you just can't live without, Why not use TSO Host for that? Because they do offer good pricing, make it easy for you to do. And because you're part of the BTN family, you get a special discount code. So get that domain name in your cart, then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order. So thank you for that generosity too, TSO Hosts. And speaking of generosity, Patrice has been incredibly generous with the time that she has put in to updating our whole live stream and live chat system, and it works great. So thank you for doing that, Patrice. And
Oh.
yeah, well, hey, I call him like I see him. And I'm curious, so would you mind telling people about the live chat? And I'll point out
I
this
will
live chat is
keep
so
it
much
really, really
better.
short. Oh.
Yeah,
I
well,
got
it's so
there.
much better
I got
because
something
I could
happened.
even describe it, but Patrice does it so much better. So please, do you mind?
Sure. I mean, I'll keep it brief. It's really super easy. All you do is you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com where you find our live stream. And on the right-hand side, you find the live chat. And that's literally all that is to it. So Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show. And Fridays, so tomorrow, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show if you want to hear more about what's happening on the Apple side of things. Because we rarely ever mention Apple on this show. And yeah, that's it. You can talk to us. Really cool. All the links, everything. But if you are listening to this in the recorded form and you prefer it that way, that's totally fine. Of course, live chat doesn't work that way, but we do have a transcript. So every line, every little bit that is said and written in the chat during our live streams gets put on our website, also WordPress site, by the way, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Select the date in the calendar that's shown there. And whatever date you select is what you will see what was talked about today. In the chat. And if you select today's date, which would be September 26, 2024, then actually, by the way, 3 months to Christmas, then you would see what we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And I feel like we should at least try and do some cool things, but maybe we keep them quick this week.
Yeah, I
Yep,
can do
quick
it.
cool things. All
Quick
right.
cool thing. There you go.
Quick cool thing. First one looks like Ian, that's you.
Yeah, it's a tiny little thing from AliExpress. I shouldn't be allowed on AliExpress. It's a little Nixie tube clock. And it's got a little LCD display in it. It connects to your Wi-Fi. You give it a location of your basically weather, local weather ID from the API. It pops a little clock on with the weather thing on it. It sits on your desk and looks cool. Two
That's
thumbs
super
up
cool.
for about 10, £15. Very cool little freebie thing. And I'll throw one quick thing in. I've been listening on Audible to The Neuromancer by William Gibson.
Oh, fun.
And even now, that story is still so prescient and so correct. Talking about AI taking over the world, talking about every bit of terminology we probably used in the last hour of our conversations have some roots in William Gibson's book. Strongly recommend you read it if you get a chance or listen to the audio. William Gibson Neuromancer is where it all began.
Awesome. All right. Well, continuing along with our fast, cool things, Tom, it looks like y you have the next one.
Okay, my cool thing is a guy named Dmitry Grinberg has successfully booted Linux on a computer powered by an Intel 4004.
Oh my God.
Oh, my
Oh
Lord.
my God.
Which was released in 71, I think. It was the one that Intel built for BusyCalc for a calculator. You know, it was their first processor. And the way he did it was a little bit crazy. He put a software emulator on this system to emulate a MIPS processor for which Linux was supported, because obviously Linux didn't support
Wow.
4004s. So he put
Jeez.
an emulator on top of this machine, and it took 4.76 days to boot. And when he typed in a directory command, ls, it took 16 hours to give him the results of, I think it was like six files.
But
But
it did
insane.
it. But good
But it
fun.
did it. Anyway, way to
Crazy.
go, Dimitri. Linux
Yeah.
running on a 4004 emulating a MIPS processor. It's a tad bit slow, but
Yeah. I mean, the emulator probably doesn't help with the performance,
no. No, that's probably super slow.
but still,
very
that is
cool.
super cool. I love it. All right. So, Dave, next cool thing, it's you.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I blame Chuck Joyner on this, and I also blame Jeff on this.
That's fair.
I bought these Audio Engine A5 Plus home music system speakers. They're freaking amazing. I just went with the this was a this was actually I linked to the Audio Engine site. This is their open box, and it was literally open box. I mean, I looked at it, these looked like they were never, maybe someone opened it and looked at it and then just send it back. So I saved, a pretty good amount of money here on it. So I went with the black and the A5 Plus are their powered speakers. They're standard wired speakers, but I matched it nicely with the Audio Engine D1 DAC and have
I
that
like
it
that
plug right
DAC.
into that directly. And then, only downfall to it, obviously it doesn't have Bluetooth, and I didn't see the need. I want to spend another $200 to have Bluetooth to the speakers. I know the speakers are nice, but I don't know if I
Cool.
have there has to be other means of doing this. So I'm just using AirPlay to AirPlay the sound because I have a TV next to me here from my Apple TV, and just AirPlay right to my Mac directly. Use the Mac as my source of playing sound, and it just sounds absolutely amazing. Even has the little remote that you can control this the here's a remote here. And on camera, and it lets you control the volume and mute it and all that stuff, and I don't have to go jumping up there to spin the dial. And but yeah, you got to break them in for about 30 days. I've had about 30 days on them so far, and getting close. And yeah, I've cranked them high. I want to hear what they can do, and they drive, and they make some amazing speakers. I mean, that just this is the first set I've ever owned. But even got the little stands that tilt them down, so it gives you a nice little
Nice.
They do look nice as
Angle. Dave,
we're.
I did an audio test on mine a long time ago. Like, how loud can they go before distorting? And
Takes a
I
lot.
gave
The answer is
up.
too loud.
Well, they didn't distort, but pictures were falling off the wall in my room. So I'm like, okay, we're done with this test.
So that's what I meant. Too loud.
Yep.
Successful test.
Successful test. All right. Awesome pick as well, which now brings us to Patrice.
Yeah, I'll keep it short as well. If you need awesome thick stickers like these, or mugs like those, or anything printed really, the company I've been using for forever and they're international is vistaprint.com.co.uk.de.at.whatever. Like they're really everywhere and they have really good high quality, really nice designed products for not super stupid prices. So highly recommend that. That's it.
I second that.
And if you're in
Vistaprint's
Europe and you
good.
need a sticker, we'll work it out somehow. I've used them
If you're
too.
in the
They're really good.
US and you need a retro rewatch sticker, we can work it out.
Yes.
So awesome pick. All right, then my pick real quick. No surprise because it's that season, so it's Lego. Lego has a $500 Jabba's sail barge that will
Wow.
be available first week in October, and it is 3,250 pieces, so the per brick cost is a little bit high until you take into account that it has one. It has 11 minifigures with it, and
Nice.
minifigures do jack up the price. And it has even has a Jabba the Hutt with it, and it opens up. You can build the hole inside, and it's just amazingly cool and detailed set. And because it's a special launch for the product, when you buy it. For free, you get a bonus kit, which is Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber, I believe. Or it might be, it's, oh no, it's Luke Skywalker's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. So there you go. That's my cool thing. And wow, we cranked through those super fast. So now, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me on In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. We are actually recording the show tonight. Jeff will be there. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. YouTube channels, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on the Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays with Chuck Joyner and Jeff and many others, as well as the Mac show on tomorrow here on the British Tech Network. And you can find me on Mastodon, which is a DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud.
Awesome. Awesome. And Tom, how about you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. And I just want to say, I think it's fantastic. We went through this whole show and didn't mention anything from Facebook's Connect events.
Yes.
Well
Yes.
Well
I
done,
resisted.
everybody.
There
Well
was
done.
simply nothing to talk about.
Well done. Yeah. I
Yeah.
agree.
Yeah. But we didn't need an article about their birth control glasses.
Oh, Jeff.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show on the Mac Show, Thursdays and Fridays, everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And as mentioned at the beginning, and also with the stickers and whatnot, Jeff and I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch retro TV shows that I've seen a couple of times, million times, whatever you want to call it. And Jeff is watching for the first time. And we are rewatching currently Stargate SG-1 Season 1, Episode 11 of Retro Rewatch should be out tomorrow. I think that's the 12th episode of SG-1, if I remember correctly.
That sounds correct. Yep. Awesome. All right. And Ian, how about you?
Me, you can find me in the Slack room. I'm Tia Boa. Turn it off and back on again. I'm on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant and I work for Veeam. That's where you can find me most times. And I have to laugh in our chat. We've got Goth Disc there who's Stuart. And again, this week I've cost him money.
Well
Last week he
done.
bought a Batmobile. This week I think he's ordering an Ixie clock.
Excellent. Well done. Well done.
So good work, Stuart.
Excellent.
Good
All
job.
right. Then for me, super fast. Jay Gamut on all the socials, Mastodon, Instagram, that's where you find me mostly. Shows. Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays, Context Machine, Brian Chaffin and I do that, and then Patrice mentioned Retro Rewatch, and Patrice, I'm having so much fun that with our show. So thank you for roping
Me
me into
too.
doing a show with you. All right. So with that, speaking of thank you to all of you for being here. And bringing awesome stories and just making me laugh and just making my Thursday so much better simply by being here. So thank you for that. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here and being part of the BTN family. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of that as well. All of you rock, and I'm glad that you're here. Hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tio Sohos, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, I think I've blasted through enough that I'm safe to say, hey, join us tomorrow for the Mac show and then come back again next week on Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.